This is Brother Billy. I'll say good morning to each one of you. Pray God's word is going to bless you today. If you got your Bible, look with us in Matthew 14. It's where we're going to begin reading. As the group from Montgomery sings this song of Peace Be Still. Peace be still. Jesus said that a lot. He spoke those words a lot. And he ministered to people through those words. And I pray God's going to minister to us today through those three words. And we're going to see some other things in the Word that I think is going to interest us and show us that, you know, we're not in this boat all by ourselves. People think that sometimes. They think, well, nobody's come this way that I'm in. Nobody's felt what I feel. Nobody's hurt like I've hurt. And often we think that we're all alone. But Jesus says, peace be still. The Spirit of God is saying to somebody this morning, you need to be still and trust Christ and know that Christ is on the throne. You got your Bible? Look with us in Matthew chapter 14. And we're going to see there were some events that happened. You know, the Gospels are the Gospels, and each one has their story. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they all had their story. And of course, John was more different than any of the other three. So many similarities between Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But we're looking at Matthew's account of what happened. And I tell you, what blesses me about this is what we're reading about today happened to Peter. And so we're going to see it where Jesus fed the 5,000. He fed them. We know that he fed the 4,000. And this was beside women and children. So as amazing as that miracle is, get the music down a little bit. As amazing as that miracle was, it wasn't just that he fed 5,000 or 4,000. That is beside women and children. Jesus fed many more than that. And so it could have easily been 15, 20,000 people. Who knows how many children were there? They didn't have one or two kids back then. They had a passel full. And so we don't know how many people Christ fed, but he fed the multitude. Thank God. I'm going to tell you, you know, I don't know what you need, but Jesus is in the business of doing things by the multitude. And so here he fed the multitude. And when it was all said and done, Matthew 14 and 20, the word said, they did all eat and were filled, and they took up the fragments, and there remained 12 basketfuls. You say, well, that's not a big deal. Well, it is a big deal when you start with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And so he fed the multitude, and thank God there was still the abundance. Now, I believe Jesus wants us to get this, because when he's done, thank God there's still an abundance. Remember what Elijah saw? He heard the sound of abundance of rain. And so Christ does things abundantly. Thank God. We ought to grab a hold of that. He loves us abundantly. He saves sinners abundantly. There's no limit to the God we serve. He does things exactly as he wills, and he loves to work in abundance. And so he fed the multitude, and there's an abundance left over. And thank God that is an example of what Christ wants to do in your heart and life. And so people think, well, I'm an exception to the rule. No, you're not. No, you're not. And so we find that we are just like every other man. And so what happened to Samson? When the Spirit of God departed from him, he was as any other man. But when the Spirit of God was upon him, nothing could stop him. And so what are we? We are like every other man. And so we see it here, that Peter's like that. And this is where we're going to begin reading in verses number 22. Watch what the Bible said. Matthew 14:22, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. God, give us this. Give us the gift of getting apart to pray. Getting away. He said, preacher, my prayer closet's over there in the hayfield. Get away and pray. My prayer closet, preacher, is back there in the sunroom when everything's quiet. Dear lady, get away to pray. God, give us this getting away to pray. He went up in a mountain apart to pray. He didn't want to be with the multitudes right then. He wanted to be with the Father. And sometimes, thank God, we need to be with the people. And other times, we need to be with the Father. And Jesus is an example of that. It's very fitting that believers learn the art of stealing away to pray. It doesn't have to be for 30 minutes. It doesn't have to be for 15 minutes. It could be 2 minutes of stealing away and having a word of prayer and asking God to do something and speaking to the Lord as Jesus wants us to. You know how he wants us to? As a man speaketh to his friend. That's what he wants. And so Christ is praying. And when even come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea. Now this is the fisher's boat that the disciples are upon, and they're going over to the other side of the lake. It's called a sea, but it is a lake. It's the Sea of Decapolis, the Sea of Galilee. You'll see it by many names, but it's a big lake, a big body of water. And as they're going across, the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the winds was contrary. The wind, singular, was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And I'm going to say something about this in the 24th verse, because we don't want to skip this. Sometimes life is contrary to us. Sometimes people are contrary. And so we see this here. The winds were contrary. And, you know, accidents happen. Bad things happen to good people. And good things happen to bad people. And so it rains on the just and on the unjust. And so we get these truths from God's word that we don't understand all the time why things come our way. We don't understand why our loved ones are killed in an accident. We don't understand. I remember these people, dear people from Graceville in a terrible accident. Nothing they done. And one of them lost their life. And so bad things happen to good people. And good things happen to bad people. And so we see this, that Jesus, here he is, and the disciples, he's up in the mountain praying. And the disciples are out there, and they're going through the toils and the struggles of life. And that's where we are when we're at work, or we're at home, or we're dealing with our children, our young children, our teenage children. You know, problems always are going to be part of our life. And so, a man that's born of woman, remember what the word said in Job, is a few days and full of trouble. And so trouble's never going to stop coming our way. And then we're going to have our offspring and our grandchildren or whatever the case is, greats. And so maybe you're a young adult. You said, preacher, I'm not even married right now, but I still have trouble. That's right. Because man that is born of woman, Job 14 said, is a few days. What's that mean? Let's grab that part of the verse. Life is short. Somebody said this, and I like it. Life is short. Death is sure. Sin the cause. And Christ the killer. And so here we see it. Trouble's always going to come our way. You said, preacher, I don't need the Lord. I don't have any trouble. If you don't have trouble today, they're just around the corner. It could be minor. It could be major. But the word of God's right. Man that is born of woman is a few days. You're not going to be here forever, sir. You're not going to live forever. You need Christ. You need Christ to say, peace be still. You need Christ to say, come unto me, all ye that labor heavy laden. You need Christ to speak rest unto your soul. And so the sin burden, I was rehearsing this to somebody the other day. The sin burden at the age of 17 was so strong in my life. God was dealing with me, calling me, saying, come, come, come unto me. I'll never forget the preacher that preached the message. And the same preacher preached the message 2 years later. When I did come to Christ, I did repent of my sin. I did receive the Savior. And so what's the word? The word is come. Come unto me. And so here, when trouble comes, where do we look? We look up. We look to Christ. We look above. Amen. Good things come from above. And so if there is any good thing, it's from above. It's what the Word of God said. So here's the disciples. Jesus is praying. We're not always going to be right there in the bodily presence of the Lord. Now, one day we will be. Thank God we're going to be with Him. We're going to spend eternity with Him. But in the meanwhile, we have to go through the toils and struggles of life and the joys of life. Thank God life is good. God's good. Every day ought to be good. But I tell you, we have to see that troubles will come our way. You said, preacher, I got more than my fair share. I know people like that. And I feel for you. I really do. I feel compassion for you. I hate you have to go through it. But bless God, we have an answer. We've got a place to look, church. We've got somebody to look to, sinner friend. I don't care what you're going through. I know the call of God still comes to hearts. It still comes to life. And I preach these messages thinking about those of you that are hurting and harmed, and you need help, you need God, you need a touch, you need strength, you need to be fortified, you need to be encouraged. That's the whole mission of this broadcast for 20 plus years, is to get the Word of God out and encourage people to look to Christ. And so we are, the church is the body of Christ. You, sir, if you're saved, are part of that body. But if you're not saved, bless God, you can be. You can come to Christ, and this is what we're talking about right here. See it now. Let's get on into the text. And so they went into the ship to go to the other side. Jesus went up in the mountain to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. Christ was there alone. Sometimes we need to pray in groups. Sometimes we ought to have congregational prayer. Sometimes we ought to have prayer meetings with our brothers and sisters. But I'm going to tell you, bless God, sometimes we just need to pray alone. Why? Because we need to pour our heart out with groanings which cannot be uttered. We need to pour our heart out to Christ in the most personal way. And here Jesus is. He understood the art of praying alone. And so the disciples, they're going across the sea, and they saw him. Well, I'm skipping forward a little bit. Watch now verse 24. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, and the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. So the winds are boisterous, the waves are everywhere, the ship is tossed, get this picture, and so here, all of these things are going on. It's the worst storm you could imagine in these disciples' lives at this point in time, and they don't know what to do, but bless God, they look across, and they see Jesus walking on the water. He's walking on the sea. Now watch, it's the fourth watch of the night, which is the last watch of the night. And so it's not like it's dusk dark. No, it's dark. And they see Christ, the light. And so what we do, we look into Christ. Everyone that looks shall live. And as they look to Christ, they see him walking on the sea. And they don't know, they can't identify Christ. The word said they were troubled, and they said it's a spirit, and they cried out for fear. And so what do they have? They have fear on top of fear. They're already afraid about these winds. They're already afraid because the boat is taking in water. They're already afraid because it's a bad storm. Now they're multiplying their fear because they think it's a ghost, a spirit. This is what they're seeing. They see Christ, but they can't identify Christ. I'm going to tell you, church, there's something about this we need to stop and grab. There are times when you don't identify, you don't think the Lord's with you, but he's there. You say, well, I had to go it alone. No, you didn't. Not if you're saved. You never go it alone. And so they saw, they didn't identify Christ, but thank God he was there. And Christ is present. He's a very present help in the time of trouble. And we see this in Psalm 46:1, where David is crying out to God. And he said he's a present help in time of trouble. We need to get that. This is what the disciples learned. They learned that Christ is present in the time of trouble. He said, preacher, I got a bad diagnosis. I have cancer. He's there. Preacher, I have heart disease. My mother's dying. My dad's dying. My children's dying right before my eyes. He's there in the time of trouble. And he's just a call away. And I'm going to show you this in the Word. I didn't say a phone call away. I said he's a call away. And so what happens when trouble comes, we have to learn that the cure is calling upon Christ. And so whatever it is, and watch now, the Word said this, they saw him and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him. He answered him and said, Lord, I like this part. I love it when I always like to stop when I see people identify Christ as Lord. He's not just a pretty good fellow. He's not somebody that we bring our wish list to. He's not somebody that gets us out of jail when we have a crack attack. He's not somebody that gets us off the liquor. Because we don't want to get in trouble. We don't want to lose our driver license. No, he's a very present help in the time of trouble. And so he's Christ. He's Lord. He's not a wish list. He's not a come pay my bills, Lord. He's not a come pay off these credit cards. He's not, no. He's a present help in the time of trouble. And so Jesus is not one that submits to our every whim. He's not one that's a pull cord in the time of emergency. He's not one that's just the fire extinguisher when we wake up in hell one day. No. Jesus is the Savior. Jesus is the one that wants a relationship with you, wants to love on you, wants to go before you. And thank God he does all these things we just named. He heals our diseases. He keeps us from trouble. He delivers us from hell. He does all these things, but he's not some get out of jail free card. And the disciples here, they look and they identify Christ. And what do they ask for? They asked for, it's we think about this one instance where, remember the man said, Lord, if you be Christ, then save yourself and us. You know what they wanted? You know what that man on the cross wanted? He wanted to get off the cross. Many times people aren't looking for help, not real help. They're not looking for the Savior. They're not looking to get their life right with God. They're not looking for something that's going to change their future. They're looking for, get me off this cross and get me off of it now. That's what they're looking for. And Christ does not and cannot and will not operate like that. And so when the disciples see him, Jesus said, be of good cheer. Now, how can you be of good cheer when your boat is sinking? And this is where we come to the meat of the text today. In the next few minutes, I pray God gives you this. How can we be of good cheer when we have nothing to hope in? When we have nothing to hope in. Before I knew Christ, I had nothing to hope in. I had no hope. We all were hopeless and helpless without Christ. But with him, thank God, he says something to our heart. And what he says to our heart is, peace, be still. That's why Russia Fool sings the song. And they sing it so wonderfully. And it's such an amazing song because God speaks it to your heart. Peace, be still. What do I need, preacher? Peace be still. You need the peace of God that causes you to be still and know that he's God. Watch this. Peter said, he said unto him, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. Now, I want to tell you what Peter said was an amazing point right here that he made. He trusted that if it was Christ, he could do anything. He believed that God could and God would. You have to get this, sir. Ma'am, you got to grab a hold of this. If God says it, he'll do it. If God leads you, he'll guide you. He'll keep you. He'll provide for you. If God puts it on your heart, there's a reason why. And when he said, Peter, he said, come where I am. He said, come. If you're you, bid me come to you. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And so Christ was not concerned of would his plan work or could it be done. No, he was just concerned. Would Peter believe God enough to get out of the boat? You got to get out of the boat, sir. You're never going to do the great exploits, and we shall do great exploits through our God. We shall do valiantly, the psalm said, but you're never going to do that if you don't get out of the boat. You've got to get out of the boat. You've got to get out of the status quo. You've got to get out of the norm. You've got to believe God. You know what the magnificent thing about saving faith is? Is it's based on faith. It's faith God imparts into our heart to believe it. And so we take that faith that God imparts. Saving faith is imparted by the Savior. All men have not faith, Titus said. And so what happens? Christ imparts faith, just as he imparted in Peter's life. Peter never believed he could walk on water before, but Jesus imparted faith into his old dark heart. And he said, come, and thank God he inspired. You know why? You know why I stepped out? And this is what happens when sinners get saved. They step out by faith. When I stepped out of that pew at Brooks Baptist Church on May the 3rd of 1987, you know why I stepped out? I stepped out because the preacher had plowed my road with the Word of God. He had so eloquently preached man a sinner and Christ a Savior, and a Savior that would call all men unto himself, a Savior that could take a 19-year-old wicked young man and change him and deliver him and maybe even one day use him to preach his gospel. I didn't know anything about that. I had no notion to preach. The last thing on my mind was preaching the gospel. But when Christ called me that Sunday night, when the Spirit of God said, come, and I stepped out of that pew, it was just like when Peter stepped out of the water. You said, preacher, that's not a good parallel. Oh, yes, it is. It is a great parallel to what I felt in my heart. Christ had called me, and I didn't know if he'd save me, but bless God, I was going to step out. And this is where many of you are today. You need to step out by faith. You said, well, I ain't sure it'll happen. That's right, you're not sure. That's why you do it by faith. You said, well, I've never been this road before. I don't know about this way. That's right. That's why you trust Christ. Salvation is trusting Christ, believing Christ, obeying Christ, and receiving him. And as Peter, he said, Lord, if you be you, then bid me come unto you. And Jesus said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And so thank God he's walking. The Christian life is a walk, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Thank God, church, it's a walk with the Lord. He said, preacher, I fell down, I stumbled, I tripped, I was flat on my face. It was a mess. I was scratched up, scuffed up by sin. I didn't get it all right the first time. I had growing pains and stumbling blocks in front of me, and I didn't always cross those stumbling blocks unblemished. That's okay, sir. You repent, you get up, dust yourself off, trust Christ, and keep walking. Thank God we walk by faith and not by sight. You know what that means? We believe. We're not walking by what we see. You know, I didn't step out by faith that night. You didn't either. Many of you are saved that I'm preaching to today. And if you recall your experience, I can't preach your experience. I can only preach mine. But I have watched many a sinner leave the house of God where I pastored. I have watched them leave uncontrollably, weeping and crying and so distraught and so tore up and ripped up. Why? Because the Spirit of God was calling them. The Holy Ghost was dealing with them. The unction of the Holy One has called them from a life of sin unto Christ. Even as Christ called Peter and he said, come, I'm going to tell you, the call of God is not to be taken lightly. Every time the call comes from Christ, it is a invitation sent from a king to a pauper, from a king to a poor boy, from a king to a sinner. That's what it is. It's the invitation. It's the reaching out of the king of glory unto a sinner that says, come unto me. That's what happened on that sea that night. The king of glory said, that was just Jesus, preacher. No. That was the king of glory. That's who it was. He left his father's throne. He left all the majesty on high to come spend an earthly life with earthly people in an earthly environment and surrounded by religious folks. Now, what that don't get much worse than that. Surrounded by religious people. Notice I didn't say saved people. Religious people. Meanest people sometimes you ever see. Religious folks. Just got a little religion and just made them meaner. It's all it done. And so here we see it. Jesus dealt with those people, Pharisees and Sadducees. My God, he done great exploits, but here he's got to deal with all of these folks. You know what Christ is showing us? We have to deal with people, and we have to get around the hurdles of this life. If we're going to do anything for Christ, we've got to deal with those things, but let's not steal the point. The point is right here, Christ is calling Peter, a sinner, to come to Christ. And so he saved him, and now he's asked him to step out of the boat by faith. Some of you are saved this morning, but Jesus is asking you to step out by faith and do something special. But I want to tell you, you don't think it was special, those other 11 watching Peter? Those disciples are in the boat. And bless God, maybe some people in the boat that wasn't saved. We don't know exactly who all was on the boat. But they're watching. I'm going to tell you, the people are watching us. They're watching us. And so here, we can do great exploits for our God. We have to obey Him. We have to trust Him. We have to walk after Him. But Peter, when he saw the winds were boisterous, he was afraid. He said, preacher, I've got some fear back there. You know, it's much like the man said, remember the place where he said, Lord, I believe, but help thou mine unbelief. And so I believe, but I got some unbelief. I need you to help that. And so here we see it where Peter said, Lord, he saw the winds and he was beginning to sink. He's beginning to go down. You know, sometimes we feel like that, like we're sinking in this life of living. But thank God, when he began to sink, what did he do? He cried out. When he began to sink, he looked up. I thank God today we can look up. We have to look up. And so the word said he looked. And when he looked and he saw him, he cried out to him and said, Lord, save me. And immediately, last point I want you to see, immediately, Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. How many times have little children turned loose of their daddy's finger? I remember all of my kids, all three of them, learning how to walk. You know what you'd do? You'd let them hold on to your finger, or you'd hold their hand. Sometimes they'd get their courage up and they'd hold on to your finger, and they'd take that first step. Oh, it ain't very steady. Bless God, they still need to hang on, but they take a step. You know what Peter done? He took a step out of the boat. You can't walk on the water if you never step out of the boat. Young'uns can't learn to walk. They can't learn to walk if they don't take the first step. You'll never be saved, sinner friend, except you step out by faith and believe Christ. You cannot be saved without faith. And only faith is going to move you. You know what moved Peter to step out of that boat? It wasn't his fear. It was his faith. You have to get your fear under subjection and get your faith built up. But ye, beloved, remember what Jude said, Jude 20. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So we can build up our faith. We have to do that. You said, preacher, I'm a brand new Christian. I don't know anything about building my faith. Well, you do today. Because Jude 20 said, but you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. This is what God wants. And Jesus called Peter and he said, Lord, if it's you, bid me come to you. He said, come. I want to tell you, you're never going to make the Lord afraid. You're never going to make Christ surprised. You're never going to catch him off guard. You're never going to say something he didn't see coming. Now, I'm going to tell you something else, sir. There's never going to be an event happen in your life that Christ didn't know about in advance. And he didn't know about when he called you unto himself. And he didn't know about when he saved you. And he didn't know about when he called you and used you. And so here, Peter said, Lord, if you're you, bid me come to you. You know where I want to be. I want to be where Christ is, don't you? Every saved person inside the will of God wants to be where Christ is. Peter wanted to be there. He said, bid me come to you. And he said, come. He said, come. The door's open. You come. Come unto me. Come unto me. Thank God. What's Christ saying today? He's saying, come. Come to me. It's all he wants. He wants to speak peace to your troubled heart. He wants you to come to him and believe him. I don't care what it's for. Is it for salvation? Is it for sanctification? Is it for deliverance? Something you need God to move out of your life? You come. You come and trust him. You come and believe him. Ask him to do it. And what did the word say? When he began to sink, he said, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. And you know what he said unto him? He didn't slap him upside the head, spiritually speaking. He said, thou little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Why do we doubt? God give us grace not to doubt Christ. Let's quit doubting Christ, church, and start believing him. Sinner friend, you know where salvation begins? Believing Christ. And when they were coming to the ship, last verse, the word said, the wind ceased. You know what happens when Jesus is in our boat? The winds. He says, peace be still to the things that trouble our heart. Father, take your word today. Speak it to every life, to every heart. I pray the Holy Ghost would do great exploits. I pray, God, you'd move. I pray you'd minister in hearts. I pray your word will become so real, so alive. Do it now. Save a sinner. Encourage a believer. God, use this message to speak to hearts everywhere. God, those that are weak and fainting, I pray you'd encourage them. Do it today. In Jesus' name we pray. Until we meet again, may God richly bless you is our prayer.